A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Yuma Lamed Hey, Yuma 35b, pagination page 70. If you take a look at the top of the page, so the thinner lines, so we're about midway in that section, at the end of a line. Tanu Rabbanan Oni. We learnt regarding a poor person who wants to absolve himself of Torah study because he says he's too busy earning a living. So the Gemara has over here an insight both of guidance and of inspiration in comparing such a person to Hillel, the great Hillel, who became a Nasi. So, drop down one line at the end of the line. Im Omer Oni Hayisi Vitorid Bimizonosai. If this person will say, I was poor and I was busy trying to earn a living. Omrim Lo, they say to him, Kulum Oni Hayisa Yosame Hillel. Were you more poor than Hillel? And Hillel was able to do it. Omru Alav Al Hillel Azokin, they say about Hillel Azokin, Shebechol Yom Vayom every day, Ayo Oso Mistaka Bitar Pik. He would earn a small coin. Rashi says a chatzi dinner. Chatzi ha'adunosin l'shama beis ha'medjish v'chatzi l'panasa l'fanasas anshei beiso. And he managed with that coin to do what he needed. He gave half of it to his family for their needs, and half of it he would pay to the guard by the beis medrash in order to let him in. Question is, why was there a guard by the beis medrash to begin with? So the Marsha suggests two possibilities. One is that it was in the fields and it needed a guard to protect, and they created a tax in order to support the payment of this guard who was needed. And this payment would be similar to any budget that's created by an organization in order to sustain, in order to provide, to protect, to make sure things should move smoothly. The Marsha also says the possibility that this shomer was meant to guard from would-be students who were not worthy, similar to what we found by Rabbi Gamliel, that he didn't want unethical or less than proper caliber talmidim coming into the yeshiva, presumably like to hang out or whatever, so they had a shomer for that protection. In any case, Hillel would use half of his daily wage in order to get into the Beis Medrash. Pam achas, one time, lamatza liistaker, he couldn't find work, and as we'll see later, this was a Friday. Presumably he would have worked and then came to the Beis Medrash, but he didn't find work, so he had no money, presumably not for his family and not for the Beis Medrash entrance fee. V'lo inicho shomer Beis Medrash liikones ala. Likonis, and the guard would not let him in. So he went up and suspended himself on top of the skylight, in order that he could hear the words of the living God from Shemaya and Avtalion, the Rosh Yeshiva. He wanted to learn Torah. Amru, they say, this is how the story goes. Also, Hayom Erev Shabbos Haya. It was Friday, utikufas teves haisa, and it was the height of winter. V'yorad alav shalig min hashamayim, and snow came on him. Kishaola amar hashachar, when daybreak came, amar lo Shemaya l'Avtalion, Shemaya tells Avtalion, Avtalion ochi, b'choyim abayis meir v'hayom eifel. Every day the room gets lit up, and today it's dark. Shema yomam unanhu, maybe it's cloudy. He tzitzu einayim, so they looked with their eyes, they gazed, v'ro'u demus odom ba'aruba, and they found the image of a person in the window. Olu matzo alav rum shalosh amos sheleg, they found 3 amos of sheleg, of snow upon him. Parkuhu, they extricated him, v'irchitzuhu, they bathed him, v'sichuhu, and they anointed him, presumably with therapeutic oils. Voshivuhu kineged hamedura, and they placed him in front of the fire. Amru, and they said, Roi ze lechalol laves haShabbos, this person is worthy of being mechal haShabbos for him. So the simple explanation is, a person in such a condition, such a danger, is fitting to be Mechal Shabbos for him, and we would want to know, to analyze the different actions which they took, to find out exactly where was the Chilul Shabbos that they were talking about, if they boiled water for the Rechitza, so perhaps that was the place. It doesn't really say that. Person who's frostbitten, not necessarily using hot water to bathe him. There is an interesting halacha in Shin Chaf Vav, which discusses a person who has water on his body because he bathed, if he's allowed to sit in front of a fire to warm up, is that considered bathing in warm water? Is that considered evaporation on the water? Whatever the discussion is. So perhaps there was some degree of Chilul Shabbos over here. Again, was it the fire that they were worried about? It doesn't say that they lit a fire. There seems to be a lot of detail here, and it doesn't say they lit a fire. They placed him in front of what seems to be an existing fire. So again, to try to figure out what was the Chilul Shabbos that they were referring to, that it's fitting for such a person in danger to be Mechal Shabbos for him. Alternative approach might be, Ra'ui zeh l'chalul lavas haShabbos. They made a statement, this person is worthy of Chilul Shabbos. It turned out we were lucky and we didn't have to be Mechal Shabbos for him. We took water that was appropriate. They say a person's frostbitten, you rub him with snow. The therapy is not necessarily bathing in hot water. They made a statement so that what they did should not be misunderstood. Someone would think, oh, you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. Shemaya and Avtalia managed, in their knowledge of Torah, they managed to care for Hillel without Chilul Shabbos, perhaps. But they made a statement publicly, you could have been Mechal Shabbos if you needed to. The expression nowadays would be, I'm allowed to jump into a car with this person and drive him to the hospital if needed. It turns out we don't need to. It turns out that we have a doctor on staff and he can figure out what's needed to be done. But this is a statement. Ra'uiza, it would be fitting to be Mechal Shabbos on behalf of this person. A third way to understand this statement is Ra'ui Zeh. This person of all people is the quintessential example fitting to be Mechal Shabbos for him. And it may be a little drushy, but I think it's a phenomenal insight. If you look later on in the Masechta towards the end, on Daf Pei Hei, there's a discussion of how we know that you're supposed to be Mechal Shabbos for a person in a life-threatening situation. How do you know that halacha? So one approach is, because the pasuk says, v'chai bohem, that except for the three cardinal sins, you're supposed to live through Torah and not die through Torah. That's one approach. Another approach is that it's proper to be mechal one Shabbos so that the person can live and be mekayim many other Shabbosos. Good. It's another approach. On Amud Aleph, towards the bottom, there's a statement from Rabbi Yishmael who learns it out of a Bob Machteres, a person who breaks into the house. So the halacha there is that in self-defense, with the assumption that this person who broke in might be violent, you're allowed to act in self-defense, even to the point of killing the person if you truly are concerned that he might kill the residents of the house, Rachmana Litzlan. The logic is that the person who's bursting in knows that people might fight for their money, to protect their money, and he has in mind, he's got a weapon, he has an idea, he's gonna be willing to fight back against the homeowner, even to the point of doing whatever happens in order that he could continue with his theft. So you're allowed to act in self-defense, literally, if it comes to it, and kill him. So Rabbi Yishmael says, look at that, for the pikuach nefesh, for the suffek pikuach nefesh of the homeowner, you're allowed to commit murder, killing. It's not murder, it's killing, but you're allowed to kill a person for that, shvichas domim. So you see that a case of pikuach nefesh can even push off killing. If it can push off killing, then it should be able to push off Shabbos too. And that's how he knows that pikuach nefesh is docha Shabbos. Let's take a look back at what happened over here by Hillel. The first wide line. Hillel, to a certain extent, is doing a break-in, so to speak. He's trying to get something from the Beis Medrash without paying. What does he want to get? He's motivated to get Divrei Elokim Chayim. He wants to get the words of the living God. What happens from such a person who's motivated like that and bends the rules a little bit and manages to achieve Divrei Elokim Chayim because he's so motivated? Only good. If you're allowed to learn Pikuach Nefesh from a Baba Machteres, take a look at this person who is, so to speak, a Baba Machteres, but in such a good way. He's trying to get Divrei Elokim Chayim. The only thing that would happen from this is good. If you asked the thief breaking in, what's going to happen? He says, I'll kill if I have to. If you ask Hillel, what's going to happen here? Only good is going to happen. He's going to ascend to be a premier Talmud Chacham in Klal Yisrael. In contrast to the Baba Machteres, this certainly is the quintessential case that we should be Mechalel Shabbos for. Yashar Koach, have a great day.